There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Are we good with our vocal warm-up?
This is a child's voice. You're supposed to talk in a child's voice to warm up your voice because it's vulnerable.
Please,
you were molested.
Please do not start the show with something that annoying.
Child's voice makes me feel vulnerable.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. This is the last podcast on the left. I'm Ben Kissel. That's Marcus Parks.
My name is Ethor. I'm from the Sphere Alliance. I hope you're ready for my blue arms because they'll make you feel true freedom.
If this is the first time you're listening to the show, he's never done that accent before.
Hi, my name's Henry Sobrowski.
Stop it!
All right, so today we're talking about the secret space program.
Well, this is
unbelievable.
The thing. If you can't handle that voice, if you can't handle the child's voice, you are not going to enjoy the rest of this program.
Don't say that.
Secret space program, where to begin? All the way at the beginning of total bullshit?
Let's go way back.
This is one of those classic, kind of like Hollow Earth or Hollow Moon, where in order to really believe that there's a secret space program, in order to believe like the many layers of conspiracy that can be peeled back in this story, you have to be very emotionally damaged.
I thought you were going to say stoned.
I mean, absolutely. Well, stoned is more than you're going to have fun with it. Like, stoned right now, which you fucking better be, because if you're not, fucking quit your job. Quit your family. Buy some weed.
Unless you're driving, in which case... Sober up real quick.
Yeah, get some Sprite. That's what sobers you. But this is the basic about the idea that there is an entire space program happening outside of the normal space program that is created by NASA. Never a straight answer.
Right?
If you ever want to believe them. Also, what I like to see, when you look up secret space program in YouTube, you see so many different uses of the word NASA, with NASA with the S spelled as the dollar sign.
Oh, like NASA was a rapper?
Yes.
Cool.
Or like NASA's the greedy one.
Oh.
NASA's the problem.
Oh, the scientist who worked really hard to get space exploration, more in the forefront of government policy?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Those fucking assholes.
Oh, I see.
Greedy misers.
That's right.
So the idea is that there is a gigantic fleet of intergalactic, possibly, spaceships that are living either off-world in what they call breakaway civilizations, which are this possible, like, gigantic solar systems that are handmade by us, where the elite live, or the idea that they're, but it also delves into esoteric things like, we didn't land on the moon, mm-hmm. because if we were to land on the moon, it's too crowded with alien space. Bases, it's for us to land.
So you're telling me that NASA was just like, we got to circle around the moon. It's too crowded right now.
Yeah. We're number 15 and, right here and around.
No. See, that's the thing is that we've actually been to the moon. We've been to the moon many, many times before to the secret moon bases, but we had to fake the moon landing because it was propaganda for the American people so we could feel better about the Russians breathing down our necks.
But at the same time, we were already in bed with the Russians all on the moon having a fucking tiki party in the moon, and it's out. Everybody's eating poi with fucking draconians and the tall whites, having a great time. And while we're down here just looking at dumb pictures of farty Neil Armstrong saying his dumb shit with his big boots on.
Yes, indeed.
So our story begins, as it has many a time before, with the Nazis.
Now let's take it all the way back to when your grandfather was right.
My grandfather?
No, but I can see why you would think that,
Dan. He was right at the time. You know what I mean? In the context of it, in an upside-down world, your grandfather was completely right. Let's start with the Thule Society, which, as we remember when we covered Nazis and the occult, the Thule Society was a group of mystics that wanted to bring Germany back to its glory days by the use of draconian magic. They were talking to aliens. They chose Hitler as their dude to come forward and, like, help their for some reason, they needed a guy, a human man, to come in and push their domestic policies here on the planet Earth.
So the draconians came down and they said, give us your dumpy one who looks like he has to shit.
What we want is the one with the comb over who speaks like he's yelling. Isn't that right, Klaus?
Interesting choice.
Actually, I was thinking we should get a funny black one. One that will entertain the masses like that wonderfully gregarious Sinbad.
What if we just make him a house guest instead?
Yes, we put that song, wonderful song, Brick House, into it, and he will teach a white family how to have fun again.
Well, thank you. I actually kind of like the Draconians.
So that's the idea. So Thule Society came forward and said that we're gonna teach you the ways of our intergalactic space flight. That's how the Germans had their own Area 51 with their UFO planes. I think they're called Bell planes. In the end, we don't know if that's real or not, because what's real or not anyway, if it comes down to fucking reality, guys, just think about it or check yourself.
Totally. The highway system.
It's real. That is real. So it starts there. A couple years later, 6 million Jews died. After that, right, we split up these Nazi scientists with Operation Paperclip. The United States of America got a bunch of them, and Russia got a bunch of them, right? And so what happened was that we started working on our own separate space programs, quote-unquote separate space programs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of quote-unquotes today.
I know it.
And that there was a secret collusion among those that still believed in the Thule Society rules, that they were talking to Draconians, and they were building an actually joint United States-Russian secret space program that would go off and do many a space adventure. That we're going to cover a couple of things today, like Valiant Thor, and we're going to talk about what Gary McKinnon found, but also that somewhere in this whole thing, Serpo's in there.
Mm. Serpo, the planet Serpo?
Yes, you remember the trip to the planet Serpo when we did the exchange with the aliens? Mm-hmm. That's in there too.
Valiant Thor does sound like a porn star who just doesn't stop coming ever.
Oh, oh, oh.
So yes, if you are wearing glasses, put little quotation marks on the side of your frames right now, just so you really understand.
It's just I understand why we don't trust space.
Yeah,
right. Space is big. Space is black.
What? Are you hands up? What am I supposed to say now?
No, he's shadowy.
Oh, I see.
All right, he means shadowy.
Yeah, I don't mean like space is African American. Christ.
But actually, that's like a fun Sun Ra album title.
Listen to Marcus's music show.
But the idea is that they believe that there's a lot more that there are technology that the United States and Russia is hiding that was created based off on alien technology. Yeah. They also believe that not only is space too dangerous to go into, that's really the big theory about the reason why there is a secret space program, is because radiation is too powerful right outside of the planet Earth that we need alien technology to even survive it.
Right. So, I mean, it seems like the base is true, though, that we did get most of our technology from scientists, from German scientists.
That's completely
like that.
True. Right. Werner Braun was a total Nazi, and how Operation Paperclip changed his bio, which I love, which is true, is that he was listed as an ardent Nazi, and the way they changed it was put in a knot. He said, not an ardent Nazi.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Which seems hiding in plain sight. And so the idea is that part of it also, and then another part of the reason why people don't trust our space program is because nobody really believes in the idea of we gave $40 billion to a bunch of Nazis to create our space program. Which is actually the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they took V2 technology that they were working on with the Germans, and then when they brought that over here, V2 technology turned into space shuttle technology.
I mean, if Hitler wasn't so concerned about getting covered in dookie, maybe he could have refocused and won that war.
Yeah. It's like how we turned Native American children into rugs.
That's not nice, though.
That's not nice,
though. That wasn't nice.
That wasn't nice.
Yeah. That was terrible. Now, let's go from the Nazis to President Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Not a short leap. What? It is a short leap.
I'm a big Dwight fan, Marcus. Are you going to ruin it for me?
Absolutely not. Okay. I love Dwight D. Eisenhower. He spoke out against the military-industrial mm-hmm. complex.
Because his back was against the wall, because he'd already let it go too far. We'll talk about
that. Rain
it in. Now, Dwight D. Eisenhower was the first U.S. leader to come into direct contact with aliens. And while we're all well aware of the treaty he signed with the Greys, in which technology was exchanged for alien probing rights on humans, specifically Americans, that was not Eisenhower's first experience with alien life forms.
I do want to be in there for the negotiations of the probing rights. Someone just holds up like a 9-inch probe and he's like, is this okay? You have to 7-inch probe.
7-inch probe. This is, don't know. Let me, I'm your lawyer. Let me speak.
Okay.
I'm going to give a 7-inch clip. Don't listen. If we let these people push us around, we're not going to get anything from them. They want to argue. They want to kibitz. Okay. All right.
Now, Dwight D. Eisenhower's first meeting with the extraterrestrial beings supposedly took place while he was vacationing in Palm Springs on February 20th, 1954, when, as he was enjoying dinner, he was whisked away to nearby Edwards Air Force Base for a meeting with the Tall Nords.
Big whites. Oh. Now, question, I will put a little caveat slash asterisk to his first encounter with aliens.
Please do.
Because apparently in 1952, there was a gigantic UFO buzz around the White House. It's like there was many UFO sightings above the White House. And what people believe is that that was, now follow me on this. Mm-hmm. The Nazis that were still around calling themselves the Fifth Column. They were working in Antarctica as a part of their gigantic secret space program.
Antarctica,
right?
And that, of course, plays into our Hollow Earth episode.
And Serpo.
Of course.
That's where the Nazis hit.
Yeah, and Antarctica's right there next to South America, so they can call up Mengele anytime they want.
And he's just like, oh, hello, let me finish his pina colada first. He's like, oh, he's always partying. Apparently what that was that it was UFOs, but it was Nazi-made UFOs that had come from Antarctica to show up at the White House to pressure Eisenhower to see, we've got the technology, we're powered by Vril and the Thule Society, we're going to use these UFOs to zoom up into intergalactic space, because that's where we're going to find our white heaven, which I believe is called Mungadunga. It's some weird name.
Weird.
It's called it's called Aldebaran.
Oh, I thought it was called Ho-Chunk Casino.
And Eisenhower then apparently had to let them into the private industry. It was basically when the Nazis joined the U.S. government to start creating rocketry program, they then slowly worked into like Lockheed and Martin and like all these various private corporations and became the heads of them.
They're superpower celestial beings, and he just gave them a job?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there were already Nazis in American industry. Henry Ford was a big supporter of Adolf Hitler. George Prescott Bush. Uh-oh. Jesus Christ. Now, that guy was a Nazi.
Even in the Coneheads, he needed paperwork.
That's
in
true.
Order to work, you can't be an illegal alien. They wanted to do it legally.
And yeah. Coneheads, that movie definitely made me look very skeptically at everyone eating in a Subway.
Yes.
I make sure they eat those sandwiches real slow.
And since the molestation scandal, it's happened again.
That's right.
Natalie, I kept rattling this at Natalie as she was about to go to sleep. And then she was like, eventually she would turn to me and she was just like, why didn't the aliens just attack? Like, why didn't the ships just show up and just attack everybody? And I was like, sweet, sweet little girl. You don't understand.
I just loved, she's just like, she had that sentence in her head for like 5 minutes, and she's like, I can take it a little bit longer before I completely derail everything that he's talking about. And then finally she's like, I need to sleep now. Why didn't they attack, Henry?
No, wait.
And that's the only response you can give.
Now, if I remember correctly, you babbling about bullshit like this was what ended your last relationship,
but it's what's
right?
making his current relationship stronger.
It is. We started making out after watching an alien documentary.
There you go.
It's gotta work.
It wasn't like she was bored and wanted to distract you or anything.
I'll take it.
Wow.
Now, back to Eisenhower and Palm Springs. Now, while of course the government denies that anything strange happened in Palm Springs on February 20th, 1954.
Now you're just making a fart noise.
Is evidence that something strange went on, for the president did indeed go missing on that very night, and the press had a field day speculating that the president had either fallen ill or worse, had died, which was much more common among presidents back then than it is now. FDR just died.
But he also was debilitated with a back-bending disease.
We all agree that Eisenhower was the only person on the beach just wearing tighty-whities and black socks.
He was the president most covered in powder.
Yes, I agree.
Now, that story that the president had fallen ill or had died even made it to the press wire, but the White House quickly put an end to the rumor before it got out of hand. According to White House Press Secretary James Hagerty, the president, while enjoying a nice dinner of fried chicken, had accidentally knocked a cap off his tooth and had to be rushed to a local dentist for treatment. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had many a cap shaken loose by all manner of foodstuffs, and I've waited weeks before doing anything about it.
You're a dirt person, and that is the president.
Right.
It's not an emergency. You don't have to do with that. You can wait. What I'm saying is you can wait till the morning.
No, you're the president. You've got to do the people's duty. You need to have a full set of teeth.
Yeah, you can't have a jagged jack-o'-lantern smile like you do. He's president. He's got to be on television.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. Sure. Let's say that he went to the dentist last night.
What if instead it was just like his, like they cut to him and he's got a dildo accidentally shoved all the way down his neck while he's hanging upside down from his fucking hangers in his closet?
Maybe the dentist was a term that he had for his prostitute. if I ever get enough clout to have a side piece, is that what they're called?
6 months already, huh?
Bring in the dentist.
Yeah, so let's just say that he went to the dentist. Here's something strange about that. When the widow of the dentist was interviewed in 1979, she had no recollection of the event when she was talked to by UFO researchers. But the evening after the interview at a local steak fry, the widow had no trouble whatsoever recounting the time that her husband put a cap back on the president's tooth.
So you're saying 25 years before that, she had no problem. You mean the night afterwards, she had no problem recollecting that
No.
That
the night after, in 1979, the night after the interview. See, that's the thing, is that dudes were interviewing her in 1979, but then the next day at the fish fry, or the steak fry, she's like, oh yeah, I remember when the president got the... It could be that someone got a hold of her. Someone said, you better fucking remember when that cap got knocked off.
Or she's an old woman desperate for attention because her children won't speak to her.
Yeah, maybe it was a little Alzheimer's
thing. I still matter. I saw the president. He had his head. His head was removed and replaced with the beaver's head. Oh, most miraculous it was. Are you my son?
It's illegal to lie at a steak fry, so that's true.
That is true, because you're just covered in schlitz.
Oh, yeah.
Now, even more interestingly, there is no record whatsoever of the president having such a dental procedure during his vacation, despite there being records of everything else that happened in Palm Springs, right down to how many golf invitations the president received that week. These things are meticulously documented.
Why?
Because he's the president.
People just like to know what the president's up to.
Yeah.
I'd be like, quit writing shit down. Yeah. Sometimes I just want to do something weird, and I just like fart into a bucket and stick my head into it.
There's a lot of documentation about Ronald Reagan rubbing peanut butter on his left hand, jelly on his right hand, and he called it a hand sandwich, and he would try to eat it, and then they had to pull his hand from his mouth.
Nom, nom, nom.
Well, tell Nancy that once I've made my hand sandwich, I'm going to need a glass of milk.
And then she starts squirting milk into a fucking out of her breasts into a glass.
Now, there was one witness to President Eisenhower's meeting with the Tall Nords, but unfortunately that witness was a man from Hollywood named Jerry Light, who said in a letter to the California Metaphysical Organization that he had attended the meeting through an out-of-body experience, which he considered a logical extension of reality and should be treated as such.
There's just so many artists who went to him for, like, career advice. And it was just like, can you be my manager?
Listen, you don't need appointments to the audition. You need to think yourself into the audition.
Now, Eisenhower had two more meetings with aliens. And while I'm sure you already know about the treaty meeting, you probably don't know.
And if you don't, fucking shut off the podcast for 1 second. Look up Treaty of Gaeta. Educate yourself.
Of course.
If you're even going to get this far, you should already have done the homework.
Well, let's not assign homework to the listeners here. I think keep the podcast on.
Well, that's the thing, is that you know about the first and second meetings now, but you probably don't know about the third, in which Eisenhower was introduced to a Venusian named Valiant Thor.
Now, is it Venusian or is it Venusian?
I think it's whatever your heart wants.
Thank you.
I say Venusian.
I like Venusian.
Venusian?
Yes.
I mean, it's a little fancier.
See?
Yeah, but Venusian sounds like someone's who's going to slowly poison you through soup.
Sure.
Okay.
Now, almost all of what we know about Valiant Thor comes from Dr. Frank Strangis, a committed Christian who claimed to have been close personal friends with Valiant Thor until Frank's death in 2008.
Now, what do we know about single source stories about aliens that have met the president?
There's no way they're not true.
Absolutely.
Now, Strangis was, in his lifetime, the founder and chief figurehead of the National Investigations Committee on Unidentified Flying Objects, a.k.a. Nick UFO, which still operates to this day.
I'm going to put this out there. If you're going to start a brand new UFO outfit, I'm going to call it outfit.
Yeah.
If you're going to start a brand new UFO outfit at this point in time, make it an acronym that it spells a word. Make it spell a word.
I kind of like Nick UFO.
No,
Nick UFO.
No,
you got like an emo
sound
band.
Like morons.
Yeah, it's like B-Fro or Gab-Fro. How's about Gab-Fro's pretty good.
That was dumb.
UFO. I'm Nick UFO and I'm here to tickle your balls.
Nick UFO sounds like a guy you don't want dating your daughter.
No, definitely not.
Now, Nick UFO is somewhat shrouded in a curious kind of secrecy, saying they're accepting no new members, which runs completely completely antithetical to the policies of most UFO societies who are desperate for new members.
Actually, that is very suspicious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because most UFO societies are desperate for new members and cash and will do anything for money. Literally anything.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain I could get, I could get to, what's his name, Dr. Stephen Greer. He'd show me his asshole for $75.
Wow. Pretty cheap.
Now, Strangest himself, outside of Nick UFO, was also a prolific author in the self-publishing world, having written The UFO Conspiracy, Millennium 7, Spacecraft Over Earth, Saucerama, and, of course, the book that covers Valiant Thor, Stranger at the Pentagon.
And Saucerama is also the Barefoot Contessa's new book, so check that out.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, and Stranger at the Pentagon is, it was also an erotica novel written by, what's his name, the guy, the last general.
Oh, yes.
Petraeus?
Yes,
Petraeus.
General, yeah. Petraeus.
Stranger at the Pentagon.
And it's about him sitting on his own hand and giving himself a hand job.
Right.
So, who is this mysterious man known as Valiant Thor? Well, on March 16th, 1957, Valiant, one of the finest leaders of the planet Venus.
Now, this is what he called himself.
This is all something, because all we know about the planet Venus is what this Venusian told us. Valiant, one of the finest leaders of the planet Venus, was commanded by the Venusian Council's central control to travel to Earth to make contact with the Earth peoples. Valiant was said to resemble humans. But according to all accounts, but mostly the account of Frank Strangis, Valiant was much more handsome than any human could ever be.
Hmm. Seems subjective. Strange. To Frank.
Yes.
Another thing Strangis got hung up on was the texture of Valiant Thor's skin. Here's what he had to say about their very first meeting.
He told me his name was Valiant Thor. He grabbed my hand. His hand was skin soft as a lady's or a baby's skin, but it was a grip of a man.
Now, it was said...
He was also purple.
Yes,
that's actually
saying.
The truth, too, is that he was slightly purple, but he wore a suit that made him look not so purple.
Wait, by all accounts that I've read, he wore, like, human clothing.
But he had a suit on underneath the human clothing.
Like Superman?
Like Valiant Thor.
So it was just a color scheme that made him look less purple.
I think that's what it was, that he uses like contouring.
Yeah.
You know what they say? I think he's a summer.
Oh.
And then he wore winter colors in order to balance his summer complexion.
Well, that would make sense. Purple is the color of royalty, is it not? It is.
Interesting.
Okay. I will answer my own question on that one.
Now, it was said that Valiant could speak all Earth languages, including local dialects. For example, not only could he speak French, but if prompted, he could presumably speak in the manner of a Parisian, a Haitian, or a Cajun Creole.
I can definitely speak in any sort of dialect that you ask me to. So you just spit them out and let me speak for them.
A little French? You got any French?
Oh, zut alors. I like soup. I like soup. I like bread. I am human. I am definitely human.
But let's say like Parisian. You're from Paris.
Baguette. I love soup. I am human. I am not from Venus.
Oh, okay, Haiti.
Voodoo. Child. Child, I make a goat stew for you, child. I am human. I am certainly not from Venus.
Yeah, let's go, not too far away. Cajun Creole.
Gumbo. Have yourself a bit of a crawdad, my friend. You are my friend. I am a friend to you and the human race, because I am a human. I am not from Venus.
You know what, Marcus? It checks out. Wow.
Flawless. Now, you might be saying right now, Marcus, if Valiant is from Venus, then why have we, despite there being numerous probes and landers, never discovered such a civilization?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is simple. They live within the planet itself.
Well, this is what we talked about when we talk about our bunker system and our gigantic mm-hmm. underground, like when we covered Dulce, is that if you want to hide something, you put it underground. So if the Venusians are obviously way more advanced than us, then of course they would live underground.
Yeah, they're more intelligent, more attractive, and less violent than humans.
Quit bragging, first of all, Venusians.
Well, this is all what Frank Strange has said, but of course this is second hand from Valiant Thor. Valiant Thor is coming down and saying, hey, we're smarter, we're hotter, and we're not as violent as you fuckers.
Well, we got Tupperware, rap, and weed.
Sort of like, yes, that's true. So sort of how ants live. That's how they live. They just build a little city down there.
Yeah. I mean, they have a high council rather than a queen. It seems like it's more of a collective than it is a monarchy or a democracy.
It seems like a squat weird man wrote it in the fashion of a fantasy novel.
Yeah, and high councils never work. They're always arguing with each other and nothing gets done.
And a lot of pointy hats and scepters.
Yeah.
Who's cleaning the scepters?
Exactly.
But also this is a part of, if we want to go into a more modern version of the secret space program lore, is it stuff like, we never went to the moon, right? It's just like, so we the moon landing was staged, but we do have a space station on Venus, and this is true, and somebody like Corey Good, who we're going to cover later, who is a real whistleblower, certainly not fake, he's definitely saying things, he's a real human being, says that he was kidnapped from his family at the age of 6 and surgically altered so that he could live on Venus, and that we have a whole colony of astronauts that live on Venus and they're just hanging out there as a part of the people that are protecting us from what or who or when.
It's a good point.
Wait, so he was surgically altered at 6. Did they ever take him to Venus, or did they just leave him here on Earth with the surgical alterations made?
I don't think he was tall enough to go to Venus.
Sounds like he was adopted and his new family gave him a circumcision.
Yes.
Could be.
Venusian haircut.
Oh, is that what it's called?
So in 1957, Thor and his crew of 200 Venusians landed on planet Earth outside of Alexandria, Virginia. Unfortunately for Val, the first people that he came into contact with happened to be two police officers who were very quick to draw their weapons on the Venusian.
Nothing's changed much, huh?
Not at all.
I guess purple counts as not white in this country.
It's sad.
But a quick thought transference convinced the officers that Valiant Thor posed no danger and that they should, naturally, take him to their leader.
So they shape-shifted in front of the cops, and they were just like, oh, that's fine?
No, thought transference.
Oh, I see.
He did a thought transference to the cops and said, hey, I'm an all-right dude, take me to the president.
Hello, my name is Valiant, which is a synonym for brave. I'm not from Venus, I am from Wisconsin.
My cousin's from Wisconsin, Vito. This guy's actually pretty good.
I am from Wisconsin, that is for certain. Tell me, what is food?
Food is the thing I eat way too much of, and then my wife yells at me. Yeah, you're a good guy.
Lady cop, show me your breasts.
And so these two beat cops drove Valiant to Washington, D.C., where they somehow got a meeting with the Secretary of Defense and 6 of his staff members. It's unclear how that happened.
Because his own special brand of positive thinking, which we're going to talk about.
Exactly. Now, before long, word spread, and every agency showed up fighting over who should have the privilege to escort the alien to the president. But Valiant needed no escort, for using what Strange has called, quote, his own version of the power of positive thinking.
Wow.
Valiant was able to walk past all security posts in search of President Eisenhower.
I think that's what the guy who jumped over the White House fence was thinking also recently. Just used his, the power of positive thinking.
Positive thinking!
Positive thinking! It kind of worked.
Now, when Thor finally found the president, after much wandering, Eisenhower was waiting, and completely unfazed, offered his hand in greeting, and said,
I have a good feeling toward you. Where do you come from, you tall, purple, handsome bastard?
To which Thor replied,
I come from the planet your Bible calls the morning and evening star, Venus.
Your soup, Mr. Eisenhower?
Let me try that for you. This is terrible blood.
And who should appear in the Oval Office at that very moment, but then Vice President Richard M. Nixon.
Milhouse.
But he did come out and say, he was just like, Valiant seems like a good guy, and it's nice to have him as a part of the cabinet.
Man, Eisenhower, Valiant, and Nixon.
What a room.
What a room. My God.
It just misses like Dean Martin, and then you got like Rickles.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming in there.
Now, Val later said that he found Nixon to be sharp and quick-witted with, quote-unquote, fixed eyes.
It seems like this was just written by someone who voted for Nixon.
Yes.
And after the three settled in, Val went on to explain that Earth had been under surveillance for hundreds of years, not, as many people believe, just since our development of the atomic bomb, because, of course, UFO sightings skyrocketed after we dropped the bomb on the Japanese. And some people think that that is what finally got the attention of the intergalactic community, because they thought, holy shit, these people now finally have the power to destroy themselves, so we'd better hop in here.
That makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it, though?
It does.
Henry. I actually have a whole... Well, technically, you've been visited by aliens since the beginning of humankind and before humankind. And technically, we were created by 22 variants of human-like creatures and also 22 variants of non-human-like creatures that are all part of the Intergalactic Committee, which you're going to find out when we read from Corey Good's website, thesphearalliance.com.
Oh, okay, good. Technically.
Now, in this meeting between Val, Nixon, and Eisenhower, Thor explained that he was there to usher in a new era in human history. He produced a plan that would remove all hunger and all disease on planet Earth, a proposition to which the president said he'd have to think about it.
He'd have to think about it. He had the opportunity to fix everything. And instead, he just was like, well, we just got to keep pumping out TV shows where the wife and the husband don't sleep in the same bed.
It's kind of funny, and the wife is a bit of a patriarch, but the mom's trying to get a job. I mean, just give the guy some rice. Isn't that the answer to this?
Give who some rice?
Give the world rice.
Give the world rice?
That will stop hunger.
I never understood that. That's carbs, and carbs are bad.
Oh, come on.
And you know what, Ben? If you listened to the last episode of Abe Lincoln's Top Hat...
I was on it.
Yeah, I know you were on it. You said the exact opposite of that.
You said
don't give the starving people rice.
No, have the starving people create their own rice so then they can have their own economies instead of this Poverty Inc. economy.
So you're saying just give them seeds? Rice seeds?
They can farm their own rice. Rice is great. You just can't give it for free
because
it deflates the market.
Get them now.
Rice is a good thing. I ate a bunch of rice last night. I'm not sad. It's not my...
Well, after Val made the proposition to the president, he was escorted by the Secret Service to the Pentagon, where he was shown the furnished apartment where he would spend the next 3 years of his life.
I wish I had known that the Pentagram does rent furnished places.
Did you call the Pentagon the Pentagram?
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what we call a Freudian slip. You know something we don't.
I know everything. Or is that too real for some people?
Too real.
Now, although they made every attempt to keep him under lock and key, Val was, through Venusian technology, able to teleport himself in and out of the suite whenever he pleased.
Whatever.
I love it.
After a while, it's been like, all right, Valiant, let's use a fucking door. Yeah. All right, why don't we just plaster up the doors then? We're not going to be using the goddamn doors.
You don't need them. Just sit in a warm tub.
Well, they didn't even know that he was teleporting out because he could also fog minds. He could make the guards think that even though he wasn't in the room, he could project a sort of holographic image where they would think that, yes, there was Valiant Thor sitting there reading a book or something.
You think I'm the most handsome man you've ever seen? And he really just looks like Danny DeVito.
I'm sure he does.
We've seen pictures of him. He looks like a 50s goon.
Yeah.
He really does.
I mean, so this is just what, like, trolls, now internet trolls, this is what they used to do previously before the internet. It was all in their head.
Yeah, they just write books.
He'd write a book, and then he'd publish his own book. Think about how much harder that is.
Right.
You go from troll to novelist in a second.
And this is self-publishing well before the era of self-publishing that we know today, which is relatively simple, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of write a long email and send it to yourself.
Well, actually, I think his first book, I think Saucerama was published by a reputable company, or let's say relatively reputable. I don't think he self-published that, but, you know, the later, he definitely self-published Stranger at the Pentagon.
This was handed out at bus stops.
Yeah, the CEO of a publishing company that's just totally failing is like, we've got one more chance with one more book to make it. What do you got?
Saucerama. You know what I like about the exclamation point is that it promotes excitement.
Let's do it.
Now, in April of 1957, Val attended what some called a convention for UFO enthusiasts, but from what I can tell, it was more just a bunch of nerds hanging out in a backyard in New Jersey.
Technically, this is a UFO enthusiast conference sitting in the studio right now.
Sure.
Technically, I don't know. I think we need like two more, and then we've got a conference.
Ooh. It'd be nice if we had a lady. Actually, and a dog.
Oh my God, get a dog.
We had a dog with a little UFO scarf on.
So cute. He makes all the final decisions.
Yeah. But I secretly put peanut butter on all the labels of the things I want him to point towards to make the decisions.
Trickery.
No, it's at this UFO convention / barbecue that the Venusian introduced three of his fellow crewmates named Don, Jill, and Tanya.
Tanya!
Yeah. And we know Don was there mostly for the barbecue.
I'm the Venusian chef. I make the goop that everybody eats. And this is Tanya. She's the looker.
Hi, I'm Tanya.
Hi.
Now, according to reports, these three wore Earth clothes rather than their regular Venusian attire so as to avoid looking out of place.
Because you definitely don't want to be the fashion don't in a world of UFO nerds in a backyard.
Definitely not.
And that Venusian clothing was strange indeed. It would have stood out. It was said that the Venusians dressed in a one-piece jumpsuit, right down to the boots.
Like Hugo Chavez?
Hugo
Chavez.
One huge jumpsuit, because Hugo Chavez has boots on.
Oh, they had footsies!
Onesies.
Like giant space babies.
Yeah, and they said that the whole thing was held together by an invisible force. The suit had no cuffs, pockets, buttons, zippers, clips, or hooks, but it nonetheless fit every Venusian like a second skin.
Like that dress J-Lo wore to the MTV Movie Awards 15 years ago.
That's a great reference. I love that dress.
And as far as the durability went, neither acid nor rifle, nor diamond drill, nor even a laser powered by a crystal synthetic ruby could pierce the fabric.
All of which sound like tests made up by a moron.
Definitely.
Like, it's just all this stuff where he talks about, and Frank Strange just, like, writes about, like, the way they tested the suit is being like, not even a diamond drill bit could cut through the suit. And it's just like, first of all, how'd they make the diamond drill bit?
Right, they don't have it.
I don't think they use them.
They totally use them.
For what?
Oil.
Cutting diamonds.
No, but diamonds are not the hardest thing, right?
Yeah, diamonds are the hardest
thing.
No, we
have
polymers. You're the girl's best friend.
Yeah. No, they're a girl's best friend, but not the hardest thing. You don't want Rambo as a best friend.
No, girl.
Diamond is the hardest thing.
That's why girls like it.
No, they have polymers now that are harder than diamonds.
Yeah, but this is 1957.
They have polymers.
Well, I just think they chose objects they didn't have around to prove that their suit was very powerful. If someone just would have thrown an avocado at them, I bet you that would have penetrated.
They threw it from the tallest building in the world, the Sears Tower. Up to 27 flights of stairs it fell.
Now, back at the cookout, the UFO nerds were complaining quite a bit to Val and his crew about how they were treated like kooks by the press. And Val was reportedly very disappointed in all of these Earth journalists and encouraged the nerds to keep spreading the truth.
Okay.
He made D&D possible.
Yes.
Gary Gygax was at this UFO convention.
He had to have been.
All right, this is one hell of a barbecue.
The thing about this, though, for UFO people, this is as cool as being at the first Grateful Dead concert.
Yeah.
Like, this is with Valiant Thor.
I mean, at this point, Valiant Thor, he was a celebrity in his own right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Valiant Thor, they brought all these people together, and I don't really know who brought Valiant Thor. That they never really cover that, because Frank Strangis wasn't at this meeting. He never says who brought Valiant Thor to the barbecue. God. Who was his plus one?
Whoever it was saw the true Valiant Thor, which is a disheveled man, like desperate to try to get into the car. And
I think
just can't figure it out.
It had to have been Don Rickles.
Yeah,
had to have been there. I assume he pops into most scenarios in between 1949 and 1957.
Certainly a barbecue.
No, it was at this meeting of the minds that
a very loose term.
That is technically.
It was a meeting of the minds.
There were brains, literal physical brains in skulls there.
Meeting.
Yeah, it was here that a photo would be taken of Valiant Thor and his companions, which is where our friend Dr. Frank Strangis physically comes into the story. See, Strangis wrote his first book, Saucerama, in 1959 and soon began giving talks at lecture halls and churches all across the country. And with every presentation Strangest gave, he always showed the picture of Valiant Thor that had been given to him by the photographer who took the picture 2 years before.
Now, is this because his fans and Frank Stranger himself are so semi-gross looking that they just believe that a man that is remotely handsome is an alien?
But he performed at churches, which is interesting because a lot of people think if, you know, UFOs are proven to be real, then it'll completely unravel Christianity, but not in this case.
In fact, Frank Stranger, we'll get into that later, but Frank Stranger, it actually strengthened his commitment to Almighty God.
People flip it and reverse it with that shit too, because they believe that their God not only then made us, he made lots of many fun aliens, and they're here to tell us about Jesus, and if we tell them about Jesus, then everything's going to be fine, even though Jesus was a goddamn myth. And that's the first thing. I can't wait for an alien to show up and be like, you believe in what? You believed in the David Blaine covered in dirt 2,000 years ago, you moron.
No, it was because of Frank Strange just showing the photograph at all of his lectures that Valiant Thor made contact on Christmas week 1959, 2 years after Val landed. Now, Frank Strange, as we said, was a committed Christian, hence the lectures at the churches. And as it turned out, Val had a thing for Christians, for reasons that will soon be revealed. See, the only person at the Pentagon that Val truly trusted was a woman who went by the alias Nancy Warren. Now, when Nancy approached Dr. Strangis at the National Evangelistic Center in Washington, D.C., Strangis had no idea who the person in the picture actually was. Strangis just knew that he was an alien. And when Nancy gave him the opportunity to meet the strange man in the photo, Strangest naturally jumped at the chance. He was told to be on the curb of his hotel at 8 a.m. sharp the next morning, where a car would arrive to take him to a meet and greet with Valiant Thor.
If you guys got Tinder, you guys got to do this at least once. Tell a guy. If you're a woman, it'd be very easy for you to do.
Right.
Tell a guy to meet him. You're an alien. You want to have sex with him. You need to create a new breed of humankind. Meet me at, give him an address next to a highway. Find the worst place in the world. Go park across the street in a rental car and just take lots and lots of pictures and then put it up on the Facebook page.
But don't do that.
No, that's cruel. It's that a cruel thing.
But it'd be kind of fun,
man. It'd be fun, but it's a cruel thing to do to a man.
Well, because he would be such a sad man.
He would be a man that needed to get laid that bad that he would believe that he would say, I'll take a chance.
You have to dress like a pirate.
Yes.
Today's sponsor this week, it's adamandeve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. AdamandEve.com. Use the code LEFT at checkout. That's LEFT at AdamandEve.com. Now back to the secret space program.
Now, the next morning, as far as we know, Strangest was picked up at 8 a.m. And as far as we know, he did go to the Pentagon. And as far as we know, he and Nancy walked through security post after security post without incident.
You see, that was what was really weird, is that when he showed up at the Pentagon, he walked in, he was like always used to going right for tours at the Pentagon, because I guess he'd done many tours at the Pentagon, but this time they went left.
Oh.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's wacky, isn't it?
Totally.
Isn't that a little weird?
It's kind of fucking wacky.
It is kind of wacky.
It's kind of blow your brains out fucking crazy ass wacky.
That is kind of wacky.
Oh, and finally, after walking through an unmarked door, Valiant Thor showed himself with his hand extended, called Strangest by his name, and introduced himself.
Sorry there, Strangest. I was sucking my own Venusian penis. Hi, I'm Val. No hands needed.
Now, Strangest said that what struck him most, besides the skin as soft as a woman's or a baby's, was the fact that Val was wearing Earth clothes.
Why does that strike him most?
Shocking, yeah.
It's like when people meet Kissel and they're like, you're not a monster.
Well, they actually confirmed that I am.
Now, Val in response to Strangis' surprise at how he was wearing Earth clothes, he showed Strangis his Venusian onesie, which Frank said looked like, quote, liquid sunshine.
God, he is sexually obsessed with Valiant Thor.
What the hell does liquid sunshine look like?
A Venusian onesie.
I just think he, like, saw a Dawn ad for dish soap and was like, that's liquid sunshine.
It's also what Farrah Fawcett used to call her piss.
I can actually see that.
Yeah, when she'd go over to, like, Tony Dunleavy's house. And what's his name? The guy from The Odd Couple.
We'll call him Tony Dunleavy.
Yeah, he goes in there and he pisses on his face. Maybe that Tony does. Walter Matthau.
Liquid sunshine?
It's Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau, yeah.
Now, here is where things get interesting. Now, this meeting happened 2 years after Val's initial meeting with the president. See, Eisenhower and Nixon. They were all for this plan. They said they loved it. They wanted to put it into action immediately.
Gotta do it immediately. It's a gotta do.
But the powers that be, including the UN, thought that if such a plan were to be enacted, no disease, no hunger, etc., it would throw the world into, quote, the abyss of chaos.
What?
And faced with rejection. The abyss of chaos, because they would say that it would collapse the entire world's economy, because, of course, if there was no hunger, you remove agriculture from the world completely. And, of course, in 1957,
right,
we were a much more agrarian culture. And if you get no disease, then, of course, that puts all the healthcare people out of business.
Yeah, but we'd have no disease and no hunger. We wouldn't need the healthcare business or the other business.
Well,
we
then what are you
going to
do with your life?
Yeah.
Then what are people who work in healthcare going
to do? Dance and sing and feel joy and be with families and write poetry and paint pictures.
Oh, it sounds like a terrible, terrible world.
Yeah, and not only that, but if they cure all disease and if they make hunger a thing of the past, they're going to have to explain how they did it, and that is how they... And that
by
is
aliens!
We've
got
to
aliens to fix all of it! That's an easy explanation! Yeah, aliens
think about
it.
How they great would, music is during times of trouble.
The abyss of chaos, Henry!
You're just... Aliens could just come and fix everything! Boom!
The
boom,
abyss...
Boom, boom.
1957! People aren't ready yet!
Yes, we they are! Have, it's aliens! It's easy!
We wouldn't have that great song by Bruce Springsteen, The Streets of Philadelphia.
That's true, because that was about AIDS.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Val actually had a different motivation for his whole no hunger, no disease plan. He told Frank, the committed Christian, that the real goal was to usher in the return of Jesus Christ Almighty.
Oh, boy.
Now, let's think about this for just a second.
Okay. And you know what? I will think about it maybe for a second.
Think about it. Well, I mean, you're going to have to think about it for a little bit because I'm about to talk about it. This is my own personal theory here.
This is a think about it, don't think about it situation.
You can think about it, you can don't think about it, but at the very least, you got to listen.
That's right.
Now, let's think about it. The Bible.
Can I just say I hate Jesus?
Yeah, I hate Jesus Christ.
The Bible says that Jesus will only return at the end of days, right? And Valiant Thor's plan, we can all be in agreement that it would indeed have thrown the world into chaos.
Like happy chaos, like the moment before everybody jumps on a trampoline.
Absolute chaos.
An abyss of chaos.
An abyss of chaos.
Before you make the spin on Twister, and you're like, oh, I wonder where my foot's going to go. That kind of chaos.
Oh, I crushed Twister, by the way.
Really?
I can get on all the little holes.
Yeah, you just lie flat.
Yep.
But let's think about this. Valiant Thor, he brings this gift of no hunger, no disease. He wants to bring back Jesus Christ, which would plunge the world into the abyss of chaos. Could it be that Valiant Thor was actually trying to jumpstart Armageddon, as foretold in Revelations, possibly posing as the Antichrist, who promises to save the world, but in actuality ends up ushering in its destruction? To support this theory even more, when Strangis asked Thor what he thought of Jesus Christ, Thor implied that Jesus was actually a Venusian, and that when Jesus suddenly appeared to his disciples on the day after his death, seemingly materializing out of nowhere, he was actually using Venusian teleportation technology.
Now you're telling me that we need to literally, that this is the Christian idea. Yeah. We need to end the world in order to bring back Jesus to fix it.
Yeah.
This is actually not that insane by Christian lore, because they want to kill, that's why they want to murder all the Muslims right now, and then that's why we're joining with the Jewish people right now, and then theoretically we have to fight the Jews and we have to kill the Jews, and then Jesus comes back.
What about the secret space program?
I don't know. We lost track.
Now we've lost track of the secret space program. We're supposed to be going to other parts of galaxies, not bringing it
back an ancient, dirty old man who was going to come here and just be like, kill the Jews and suck my penis. I never got it when I was alive.
Oh, dirty old man. He was our age.
Yeah, he was actually kind of younger than us at this point.
Oh, fuck.
Damn, it's actually sad to think about.
Actually, he's about my age.
Yeah, and Mary Magdalene was blowing him all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, he wasn't real.
And if you are a Christian, that's fine. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening 5 stars on iTunes.
But thankfully, the UN saw right through Valiant Thor's ruse. And 3 years to the day after his first encounter with the people of Earth, Thor returned to Venus to report that the leaders of Earth had failed him.
Now, Valiant Thor, in those 3 years, what is a part of the actual UFO mythos is that he was a part of one of the arms of Majestic 12. He was there as a part of the beginnings of the secret space program. He did a lot of cryptic shit. He worked with the OSS. He was a part of the people that helped create Area 51. Mm-hmm. He was around for all of this shit. He became like a consultant when he was just everywhere. So for a while, he was just like a guy in the background of pictures. Like, if you look up Valiant Thor, you see like all of these pictures that look like the end of The Shining, where he's like in the background. Standing there like, and that's Valiant Thor. And he was just a part of that, like, weird spook central, like, early 1950s CIA bullshit.
Yeah, and the only thing he wouldn't work on was weapon systems. Because they wanted him to work on something they called the bomb in the sky. And, of course, if Valiant Thor would have worked on it back then we would have had the bomb in the sky. What was the bomb in the sky? The Strategic Defense Initiative, a.k.a. the failed Star Wars program under Ronald Reagan.
They were obsessed with that. They've been obsessed with it, and that's what they say is a part of where one of the secret space program's other, like, weird alternate purposes is that they're supposed to be sort of the umbrella around the world. Is that they're supposed to, that's why we have a space station on the moon and a space station on Venus, which is to protect ourselves from whatever is going to go on in the galaxy.
And that actually ended up happening. Israel has Star Wars. They have an amazing laser system to shoot down weapons.
Was there Princess Leia got to wear a weird little hat?
Now, after Val went to Venus to tell them that the Earth peoples had failed him, he was ordered to return to Earth and was given the following instructions.
Mingle with and become as Earth people. Not from Venus. Work and labor in Earth enterprises, such as Enterprise, the rental car company, and Hertz, the rental car company. Help those who encounter possible threat or danger while striving for world peace, including Saddam Hussein, a funny man I met in one of my travels. Give them advice and guidance. Tell them to eat the Twinkie. And trust with superior knowledge those who have proven themselves, and divulge the essence of their mission to the collective national leaders of Earth only when the time is right.
And as far as we know, Valiant Thor continues in his mission to this day, waiting when the time is right to reveal the essence of his mission to our quote-unquote civilization, lest we destroy the planet, throwing the universe itself into orbital chaos.
As soon as Different Strokes is remade on television, then I will return.
Well, we're very close. The Odd Couple was remade. See? Perhaps Different Strokes
is happening.
Next.
Yeah, this is Remake Central.
Wow.
Now let's jump forward to the year 2001.
Whoa! Whoa! Wait a second, what's that in the sky?
Oh, no, no.
Oh, I never should have visited downtown in the fall.
I think I got taller.
Yeah. Now, let's see what's currently going on in the World Secret Space Program. Between February 2001 and March 2002, an English computer nerd named Gary McKinnon hacked into 97 United States military and NASA computers from his girlfriend's aunt's house in London under the screen name Solo.
Cool.
Yeah. He had a girlfriend?
He had a fucking girlfriend. No, it's very interesting. So from now, right? So Gary McKinnon was kind of sparked into interest of what's going on with the secret space program, and he wanted to hack into the NSA. Up until now, so we have SERPOs already happened.
Sure.
We have developed several space stations on the moon and on Venus. Blah, 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 blah. This is all been cooking.
That?
That's time going and science cooking. Okay. So a lot of shit's happened, and we'll continue on. So that's all you need to know. Which, as I was recapping it, is nothing.
Yeah,
yeah, because you recapped it with a gurgly sound.
Yes, because what this is more proof that the secret space program is a thing.
Yeah, Gary McKinnon is a person. Like, yes. It's not like Valiant Thor, where he's kind of in the background of a picture here and there. Like, Gary McKinnon actually is a person. He actually did hack into 97 different computers. All of this happened. Oh. Now, U.S. authorities claim that over a period of 13 months, McKinnon deleted data and disrupted thousands of military computer systems in addition to copying data, account files, and passwords. This is right. This is pre and post September 11th. He was doing this until February of 2002. So this is some serious shit. Now, Gary denies any destruction of data, but he did admit to leaving one threat on a military computer, which said, in brief,
U.S. foreign policy is akin to government-sponsored terrorism these days. It was not a mistake that there is a huge security stand down on September 11th last year. I am solo. I will continue to disrupt at the highest levels.
You know, I think every member of Anonymous, that's how they hear their voice in their own head.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Like, they're a guy that's going to tell you your quests at the beginning of a fantasy fucking game. Quest.
Right, and then it's just like, honey, dinner's ready.
Mom, I gotta find the fucking gems of Maldavia.
I made your favorite little hot dogs covered in bacon.
Oh, I'm coming right now.
Okay.
Now, despite this message, McKinnon claims that his only objective was to find evidence of UFOs, anti-gravity technology, and the suppression of free energy, as was reported by the Disclosure Project, which is made up of over 500 government, intelligence, and military witnesses who all claim to have had firsthand experiences with the extraterrestrial.
Cool. Now, Disclosure Project's really good. We've covered it briefly way in the past on this show, and it's actually a thing to watch. I also just downloaded 883 minutes of conferences based upon the secret space program, and I've been going through, which is very interesting. But Gary McKinnon got sparked onto this idea from a woman that he met online, who said she worked for NASA, never a straight answer, and her job was to Photoshop UFOs out of pictures from surveillance from satellites and space shuttles.
Right, and when Gary hacked into NASA computers, he found the before and after images.
And also weird, like, Selena Gomez things that had been x-rayed. Yeah. You know, you can x-ray clothes on Photoshop.
She's very talented. Yeah. Wait, now just go back, 800 hours?
883
minutes.
Minutes.
883 minutes.
That's a lot, yeah.
How am I going to waste my time?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to do that.
No, the image before it was Photoshopped out showed a cigar-shaped object floating in the northern hemisphere. Now, Henry, I have to ask you a question right now. Why are spacecraft always compared to cigars?
Because they say that that is the shape that they would need in order to work on their artificial gravity engines. They have to fall like weights. And that they are possibly... listen to me, you fucking assholes.
Yeah, no, it makes
and that
sense.
They are possibly... the cigar ones are essentially motherships. Uh-huh. And that they release liquid forms of ships that are the orbs that we see all the time and the ones that change shape all the time. Mm. Or saucers that can start as liquid and then become physical. That can become hard.
Like a drippy... it's a drippy cigar, huh?
Yes, it's a drippy cigar. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You mock me.
No,
that's
no.
The truth.
It's very, so, yes, it's very Clinton-esque.
That's just the shape they have to be. Yes, it would be. That's the problem, is that when you see a cigar just entering a big, dark, magenta cavern, that is pictures from Bill Clinton's cell phone.
Yeah, and if you're a gal out there and a guy ever offers to give you a drippy cigar, if you're into it, do it, but just know that you're in for a tobacco-filled vagina.
Consent first.
Oh, yes.
And now, you're probably asking yourself right now, this guy, Gary McKinnon, he was on a computer. I mean, he probably wouldn't.
Yes.
Yeah, you're saying this guy was on a computer. Yeah. So, of course, he couldn't, you know, right-click save as on these NASA files.
He says he was so mystified.
No, he said he was so bedazzled.
Oh.
Yes, he was so bedazzled that he forgot that the capture screen function even existed.
Huh.
So while he was staring bedazzlingly at the images, his connection was interrupted before he could screen capture, and he was disconnected and was never able to find the images again.
So he knows how to hack into 97 very heavily guarded government computers, but he doesn't know how to save.
Well, he knows how to, but not, just
he
not
was
when
bedazzled.
Yeah, just not when he's bedazzled.
It's like he met the mutant Jubilee.
So he had,
and it bedazzled him.
Yeah, he had one chance, and then he totally blew it.
It's literally the only thing that Jubilee would have been useful for, is this thing. Maybe she was working for NASA, never a straight answer,
could be,
in order to bedazzle people that would hack into the program.
Now we're thinking about
now
it.
Now I'm thinking about it a lot.
Wow.
Now, Gary McKinnon also said that he did have some evidence that he took, which is a list of officers and admirals that they believe are the literally the heads of the secret space program.
Yeah, the Navy's,
people that are on the moon.
Yeah, the Navy's space fleet.
Which is interesting is that because the Navy are the ones that are controlled of the space fleets. That's what they say. Yeah. That this is what another guy, that's what Corey Good said, is that the Navy is actually in charge of all of the secret space program shit because the Navy's the oldest branch of the U.S. military services, and they're the ones that are considered the grand protectors of the American people.
Yeah, absolutely. You ever seen Star Trek? You ever seen Battlestar Galactica?
Absolutely.
Admirals, corporals, skippers?
My father was in the Navy, I know for a fact that he was protecting America drunkenly for 2 years during the 1960s.
In the Gulf of Mexico.
Protecting Key West. Jimmy Buffett would not be alive today.
That's right. Without Zabrowski.
No.
They called him a skipper, too, but for many different reasons.
Oh, because he just skipped loving his son.
That's right.
Now, Gary says that he discovered the existence of a secret space program called Solar Warden. Of course, he talked about the 8 cigar-shaped motherships. He talked about the orbs, but he also talked about 43 smaller scout ships. And he said there was also several, quote-unquote, non-terrestrial officers and 300 human personnel.
Ooh.
So one would assume that someone such as Gary, who actually did hack into 97 computers and actually did disrupt thousands of military systems during a time of war when America was on the highest alert they've been on since Pearl Harbor, you'd think he would have been prosecuted, right?
Mm-hmm.
To the fullest extent of the law, right?
Hmm.
But one would be wrong.
Uh-oh.
Gary was never prosecuted for his crimes and never saw one day in court. Could it be that the United States just forgave Gary for his crimes? Or could it be that the United States didn't dare risk Gary McKinnon in open court? For he may divulge the secret space program that reaches all the way back to the Third Reich.
I think they should have just let Gary McKinnon take the stand and let him go and be like, it's like, there's aliens. Definitely. Oh, I've seen the pictures. And then come in with a fucking magic umbrella. So do we want to quickly talk about Corey Good and what he discovered? Corey Good is a whistleblower. Just quickly, because I literally was deep into research last night, and I was listening to an interview with this man named Corey Good, who was an anonymous whistleblower that was a member of the secret space program for a long time. And I was looking at his stuff, and he had finally came forward on Coast to Coast AM, telling everybody his name, talking to George Norrie, revealing his secrets, that he was a part of the secret space program since the age of 6. He had been lifted from his family, he had been surgically altered, and now he's here to tell the world the truth, or to spread, as the people in the secret space program whistleblowers union that he's a part of. It's a whole group. It's a collective.
They're unionized?
It's like a collective that they call it fear porn, that he wants to spread his fear porn so that people get into it. They're scared of it, and they talk about how he was tortured and manipulated and what's going on outside of the sphere. But he has a website called sphearalliance.com.
Sphearbeingalliance.com.
Sorry.
Oh, get it right.
And this is one of those, I'm wondering if he's right or not about aliens.
Right,
it's like a
sure.
thing where it's so nuts and so big that I actually wonder if he's the only one who's right.
Yeah. Because he sounds so crazy?
Yes.
You know, it's a strange logic you have, Henry, to believe somebody. They just have to be completely nuts, and you're like, maybe they're right.
I think he could be onto something.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, we're going to read the introduction to SphereBeingAlliance.com before you really get into the meat of it. This is an introduction. If you want to follow this man down the rabbit hole, this will give you all the information you need to know.
Briefly, what does the website look like?
Oh, it's actually pretty good.
It's a good
not
one.
Too but, bad.
Yeah, really?
By UFO standards, it's actually all right.
But if you go to the Epic Discovery Group, there's the EPIC, which is a guy named Jeff Mars is in there. Like, that is full angel fire.
All right.
Yeah. Now, this one is, like, on par with the International UFO Museum and Research Institute.
He had a designer.
Yeah.
He's got capital.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's read this. With all the events occurring, quote-unquote, above and below, there is a lot of, quote-unquote, information, quote-unquote, disinformation, and competing, quote-unquote, agendas that are all competing for fertile places in our, quote-unquote, consciousness to plant their, quote-unquote, seeds. Some people have chosen to focus on the more, quote-unquote, down-to-earth events and the battles over the, quote-unquote,
financial debt system,
Babylonian money magic slave system, quote-unquote,
financial resets,
quote-unquote,
financial jubilee,
and gifted money to the masses in, quote-unquote,
prosperity settlements.
There is an element of what we call, quote-unquote, the Alliance that is fighting the current controlling elite known as the, quote-unquote,
Cabal
or, quote-unquote, Illuminati, among other names down here on Earth at this very moment. Some people have chosen to focus on the more, quote-unquote,
esoteric,
for now, events and battles occurring above our atmosphere and what many are referencing as the, quote-unquote,
secret space programs
and, quote-unquote,
breakaway civilizations.
There is quite a lot of classified technologies that are in use in these, quote-unquote,
programs
that are being suppressed and could completely change the nature and quality of life of every human being here on Earth. The quote-unquote
free energy
technologies would end the need of the quote-unquote
current oil, petro, energy companies.
The quote-unquote
frequency and light healing
technologies would end the quote-unquote
current pharmaceutical corporations.
The quote-unquote
neurological interface
technologies would end the need for quote-unquote
large education institutions.
And the quote-unquote
food replication
technologies and the quote-unquote
environmental purification and restoration
technologies would end poverty, starvation, and begin to reverse the damage humanity has done to the Earth virtually overnight.
As you can imagine, the real threat to disclosure is not that humanity cannot handle the truth or will be able to reconcile quote-unquote
cosmic life
with their religious beliefs. The real reason is that these technologies would immediately collapse the world economies and make the quote-unquote
Babylonian money magic slave system
of no use anymore. It means the quote-unquote
loss of control
of the 0.01% elite over the quote-unquote
masses
and a complete quote-unquote
paradigm change.
In short, it means quote-unquote
freedom.
Freedom for the first time in humanity's quote-unquote known recorded history. There has been a quote-unquote
stealth civil war
going on amongst quote-unquote
SSP
groups for a while to achieve this result. Relatively recent, the quote-unquote
SSP Alliance
was joined by a group of quote-unquote
beings
that no one had encountered before. They are a 6th to 9th density group of beings that have been referred to as the quote-unquote
the Sphere Alliance.
These new quote-unquote
sphere beings
have since not only created a quote-unquote
energetic blockade
around Earth, but have done so around our entire solar system. They are a non-violent group of beings who brought assistance mainly in the form of a quote-unquote
message. Ben, what is that message?
I think you guys are really good at that.
But he also says he ran into, there's going to be 5 more beings that are going to be introduced to us, and one of them is the Blue Avians, which are giant birds.
Hey, all right.
And they're a bunch of orbs.
That's amazing.
He also says that we were created by 22 human-like species and 22 non-human-like species.
Yeah, we've already covered that.
Yeah, we actually did already cover that. I think that was Pleiadians.
Yeah, and we covered it in this episode alone again.
Well, you've got to keep covering it.
Yeah,
because people are not absorbing it.
I know it.
You got to understand information. You got to let this shit fucking roll around your brain like it does for me, keeping me awake for hours.
Mostly
last night.
Keeping your girlfriend awake.
She sleeps soundly while I just pace the floors.
You just see her eyes getting bugged out like Ren from Ren and Stimpy, yeah. Just constantly wanting to strangle you.
So that's right. It, man. That God. Is the secret space program.
Lordy,
that is awesome.
Well, I mean, that is a tiny sliver, a fraction of a fraction of the secret space program.
These are just 2 little stories. These are 2 chapters in the world of the secret space program lore. And do yourself a favor and watch all 883 minutes of this secret space program revelation videos in Vimeo.
Well, you know what? You don't even have to do that. You could also just go out there, have a nice dinner, find a love, whatever it is.
Yeah, don't be burdened by the truth.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I just want to thank everyone. We want to thank everyone for coming out to our live show last week in Los Angeles.
Oh, God damn it, Los Angeles. That was one of the best crowds we've ever performed in front of. You guys out in Los Angeles are all fucking amazing. Thank you so much for coming out. Thanks for all of the cool shit we got. Like, you guys are fucking amazing. Thank you so, so very much.
Yeah, to Mary and Pepe who did our merch for us. They're incredible. We love them. Everybody else that we met, it's just everybody great. It was really wonderful night.
Yeah, thank you to the real players for opening up for us. Thank you to Wheezy for putting the whole thing together. You guys are fantastic.
Thanks for taking me to BJ's, which was a great chain restaurant, and I loved it. I got a little mini deep dish pizza.
I don't want to thank Jennifer O'Neill for creating that amazing oil painting of the 3 of us, which took a lot of work. And also, I believe her nude breasts are in it.
Yes.
Is that hers?
I think so.
Her breasts, but not her nipples.
Whoa, what happened to her nipple? I think you're the one who ate them. Mr. Parks.
I would vote for Marcus.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, we've got another live show coming up in Baltimore on August 19th. Go to cavecomedyradio.com and click on live events to get a link to the Baltimore show. We're almost sold out on that one, so get your tickets now. It's coming up real soon. The Cowmen are going to be playing that show as well. It's going to be super fucking cool.
That's right. And Holden's lost a little bit of weight. Of course, you know Holden from the Roundtable of Gentlemen, another great show here. So we'll see how many buttons pop open on his shirt.
Oh, actually, not that many anymore.
Interesting.
let's just say less.
Wow, that's incredible.
We'll just say less. And if you want to, and of course, thank you to everybody that's given on the Patreon. You guys are so fucking amazing. Go to patreon.com/lastpodcast on the left if you feel like we deserve a little bit of cash for what we do here. Thanks to everyone so far who has donated. And of course, we thank anyone in the future that donates as well.
Absolutely. And we mentioned the shows a little bit, but listen to Abel Against Top Hat for politics news. It's very fun. And the Lucky Bone Show for music.
Yeah.
Roundtable of Gentlemen. Sex and Other Human Activities, page 7.
Yeah, go to mixcloud.com/Marcus Parks to listen to the Lucky Bone Show.
Also, I'm working on a cartoon with Andrew Parker. So is Ben Kissel. So is Ed Larson. So we're going to be putting that out soon, called Crypta. And we will let you know about that in the future, because we're going to be trying to raise some money to get the pilot going.
All right. And follow Henry on Instagram at, what was it, Dr. Fantasty?
Yes.
And then on Twitter, you're at Henry Loves You. Marcus Parks is just at Marcus Parks for both. I'm at Ben Kissel 1 on Instagram and Ben Kissel on Twitter. And of course, go to the Facebook group and you know, just enjoy the madness of that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I guess it's total madness.
Yeah, it has. Well, we've hired like 2 mods.
We hired them.
Yeah, I mean, we said they could do it.
Experience. It's about having the experience.
It is.
Yeah. Hail Satan.
Hail yourselves.
Hail Gain.
Hail me now. Do it now. Do it now.
Unless you're driving.
Yeah. Do it now.
Yeah. But before you do that, Megustalation.
Oh, and of course, July 23rd, the live show right here at the Creek in the Cave.
Sold out, but come on out.
Yeah, seriously, even though it's sold out, we hang out at the bar afterwards, naturally. So come on and hang out.
Yeah, we're fucking here. We're problems. We have problems. Drinking problems.
Big problems.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.